You're listening to a presentation brought to you by Mystery Play Internet Radio.
This podcast is proud to be part of the Blueberry Network. That's blueberry with no E's .com.
Notable melodramas from stage and screen, fiction and radio, presented each week to bring you to the edge of your chair.
Good evening. This is Orson Welles. Personally, I've never met anybody who didn't like a good ghost story. But I know a lot of people who think there are a lot of people who don't like a good ghost story. For the benefit of these, at least, I go on record at the outset of this evening's entertainment with a sober assurance that although blood may be curdled on this program, none will be spilt. There's no shooting, knifing, throttling, axing, or poisoning here. No clanking chains, no cobwebs, no bony and or hairy hands appearing from secret panels or, better yet, bedroom curtains. If it's any part of that dear old phosphorescent foolishness that people who don't like ghost stories don't like, then again, I promise you, we haven't got it. Not tonight. What we do have is a thriller. It's half as good as we think it is. You can call it a shocker. It's already been called a real Orson Welles story. Now, frankly, I don't know what this means. I've been on the air directing and acting in my own shows for quite a while now, and I don't suppose I've done more than half a dozen thrillers in all that time. Honestly, I don't think even that many, but it seems I do have a reputation for the uncanny. Quite possibly, a little escapade of mine involving a couple of planets, which shall be nameless, is responsible. Doesn't really matter. Don't think I disapprove of thrillers. I don't. A story doesn't have to appeal to the heart. It can also appeal to the spine. Sometimes you want your heart to be warmed, and sometimes you want your spine to tingle. The tingling, it's to be hoped, will be quite audible as you listen tonight.
Hello, this is Clyde J. Kale. I hope you're enjoying the programming of Mystery Play Internet Radio. It is a real pleasure and honor for me to share these shows with you. MPIR has been a continuous operation for over 18 years, broadcasting and sharing these wonderful programs to the delight of millions of listeners. It would have been impossible without the financial support of listeners like you. Mystery Play Internet Radio is listener supported. This is important. These past 18 years, I have received hundreds of letters thanking me for saving lives, helping people ease their minds while dealing with serious health or family issues. Yes, Old Time Radio can save lives. Here's an invitation to you. This is critical, so please listen. There are three ways you can support Mystery Play Internet Radio. Right now, send in a donation via PayPal. Just go to www.mpir-otr.com. That's www.mpir-otr.com and click on that donation page. 2. Join and make a monthly pledge via Patreon. www.patreon.com/mpir. And 3. Tell your friends and neighbors and family members about how you enjoy Mystery Play Internet Radio. Mystery Play Internet Radio is entering a very critical period. The server costs are rising, operation and expenses are increasing. I really need your financial support to continue operation. That's www.mpir-otr.com. www.mpir-otr.com. please help me keep this form of entertainment on the internet and continue to save a life. I thank you.
Good evening, friends. This is your host to welcome you through the creaking door into the inner sanctum for another gamble of ghoulish goings-on. Come in, come in. We're celebrating an anniversary here tonight. Our pet vampires, Oscar and Bertha, have been dead just 100 years. They're such a devoted couple. With them, it was love at first sight. In all their years of unholy wedlock, they've argued only once, over the training of their backward son, Abner. Oscar blames the little vampire's shyness on Bertha. She kept insisting that Abner was much too young to be taught the facts and stares. Say, you should see the new home that Oscar just dug for his family, complete with hot and cold running victims.
Tonight's Inner Sanctum Mystery, Fearful Voyage, was written by Ed Adamson and Robert Sloan, and stars Arnold Moss in the role of Steve, with Elspeth Eric as Rita.
All right, folks. Set for another saga in the sanguinary. Well, make yourself comfortable. Sit right next to me. Here, in this coffin. And don't worry about the price of the seat. There's no cover charge. Now let's get to the story as it's told to us by Steve Chapman.
Flashes of lightning rip through the black sky in angry silver streaks. The snarling wind whips the sea into a jagged, tossing mountain range of gray water. The fishing boat founders on the reef, its wooden sides crying out against the punishment of the lashing waves. And there on the deck of the dying ship, the lone fisherman faces the relentless fury of the elements.
Doesn't have to be this way. She can save me, but she won't. She just stands on that rock and looks down at me and laughs. This is just the way she wants it. She just stands up there and laughs at me because she wants me to be as dead as she is. Oh, if I could only go back. It was only 2 days ago. Just 2 days ago. If I could only go back to where I was 2 days ago. The tuna were running, and we were getting the boat ready to go out for the catch. I had 2 men in my crew, both good fishermen. Carlos was weaned on tackle, and he could smell out a school of fish 100 miles away. My other hand, Johnny Martin, could handle a line with the best. The
engine's in good shape, Steve.
All right, Johnny. Carlos, how about the supplies?
All stored below, Steve. This time I bring extra bottle of wine. Import stuff.
Yeah, straight from your girlfriend's cellar.
No, no, Johnny, this real import stuff. Come from Lisbon. Cost me $8 this much fine.
Yeah.
I'll show you later.
Okay, Carlos, okay.
Hey, look. Why don't you two go over to the cove for a drink? We won't be getting underway for an hour.
Hour? But Steve, we are ready now.
Rita's coming down.
Oh.
We're going up the coast to Goldwater before we head out to the banks.
Steve, we'll lose 6 or 7 hours.
Oh, we'll make it up, Johnny. I'm dropping Rita off at Goldwater. She's going to stay with her sister while we're out.
Oh, Steve, you not do that.
What are you talking about?
A woman on board. It is bad luck.
Yeah, but Rita's my wife.
Make no difference. It's bad thing, Steve, to bring a woman on fishing boat. This I know. It bring much bad luck.
Listen to him, will you, Johnny?
Yeah, it's an old fishing superstition.
Please, Steve, you hear what I say. Please. It is truth.
Sure. Like breaking a mirror. 7 years
back. Oh, you make fun, but it is truth,
oh,
I say.
Come on, Carlos, forget it. Let's get that drink now, huh?
No drink, Johnny, yet. Steve.
Yeah?
You bring wife on boat?
Sure, I will. You don't think I fall for that hokum, do you?
You bring wife? Then Carlos does not go.
Now, wait a minute.
Carlos does not go. Will be bad trip. He does not go if you bring woman on this boat.
Carlos wasn't kidding. He
Carlos was too good a hand to lose. I quieted him down, and he and Johnny went over to the cove. I was down in the cabin when Rita came out to us.
Hello, Steve.
She stood in the doorway holding a suitcase. Every time I looked at Rita, it was like I was seeing her for the first time. She was always new and more beautiful than ever. Young, alive. That's why I tried so hard to hold on to her.
What are you looking at?
You. Just you, Rita.
Something wrong with me?
Wrong? You're about perfect.
Well, aren't you going to take my bag?
Rita.
Yeah?
You can't come on the boat to Goldwater.
Why not?
Carlos.
Carlos, what's he got to do with it?
He won't sail with me if you come aboard. He says it's bad luck to have a woman aboard. Now, I know it sounds
okay,
foolish.
Okay, that's the way it is.
Rita, it isn't that I don't want you.
All right, it's that's okay.
Rita.
What?
You go to your sister in Goldwater like you promised?
Sure.
You promise?
Oh, will you stop it? Will you let me alone with that promising business?
Well, Rita, Tony, because I love you so
yeah.
much. I just want to get you out of this town while I'm away. I know you're young. I know it's no fun waiting weeks while I'm away. I don't blame you for going to those dances.
You don't blame me. That's nice of you. Real nice. What do you expect me to do, sit home and knit?
Well, it's just that I don't want you to meet someone else who might...
Look, Eve. About time I told you something. I did meet someone.
I know, Rita.
Huh?
That's why I asked you to go to your sister's.
Won't do any good. I wasn't going to stay in Goldwater anyway. I won't be around when you get back, Steve.
Oh, Rita,
now
please.
Go. Now, don't. Let go.
Not Rita. You got to wait for
now,
me.
You're knocking me all out. Now, let
no,
go.
No. Until you promise me.
Get your hands off of me. I said I can't stand it when you touch me.
Oh,
get
Rita.
Get your dirty hands off of me. Look at the way they smell of fish. Pouring me, always grabbing. Makes my stomach turn.
All right. I promise you I'll give up fishing. This will be my last trip. I promise. Only you gotta wait.
Wait! I wouldn't wait another 2 minutes. I always hated you. The first time you put those hands of yours on me, I only married you because I needed somebody to take care of me.
Oh, no, don't
you
say
that. What do you think I married you for? Because you're young and handsome?
Stop it.
Young and handsome. Oh, that's a laugh. Did you ever take a look at yourself in a mirror? A good look?
Stop it.
Oh, stop it.
I had her make her stop talking that way. So I hit her. She staggered back across the cavern up against the beam. Then she slumped to the floor. I stood over her. A ribbon of blood flowed out of her blonde hair, moved toward my feet. I touched her and I spoke to her. But she was motionless and silent. And dead. Rita was dead. And I killed her. But I didn't mean to. I loved her, but... What could I tell them? They wouldn't believe me. I knelt there looking down at her. And then I heard the whistling. Carlos and Johnny were coming back. I lifted Rita in my arms and carried her across the cabin to the chest. I put her in there. I slammed close the lid of the chest just as Carlos and Johnny come down the stairs in the cabin.
Well, Steve, ready to get here?
Yeah, Johnny.
She does not come with us, Steve?
No, Carlos.
It's better that way.
Maybe it is.
Hey, Steve. Huh? That's two suitcases over there. That's Rita's, isn't it?
She forgot it, maybe. I bring it to her right now.
Oh, no.
What she got?
Wait, we're shoving off right now.
What, the bag of Rita?
Well, she brought some stuff down for me, some things I forgot. Get the motor started, Johnny.
Okay, Skipper.
Well, Carlos, what are you standing there for? You heard me. We're shoving off.
I hear you, Steve. I hear you.
I didn't leave my cabin. I didn't sleep. I just sat there for hours, my eyes fixed on her chest. I wanted to open it and look at her again, but I couldn't. I just sat there. We were only out 10 hours when things began to happen.
The radio shot, Steve.
Well, fix it, Johnny.
I can't. Power supplies burn out. Funny thing about that. I just put a new condenser in day before yesterday. A brand new one. It's funny. For no reason, it should burn out.
There's never a superstitious man, but peculiar things like that. And that was only the first. What do you want, Carlos?
Any empty. Steve, this campus. Gotta say I should show it to you.
Why?
Well, look at it. We are headed north. But the needle points this way.
Oh, no.
Now, you see?
Give me that compass.
Sure. Steve, what are you doing?
This will fix it. Good.
Steve, you break swag.
Get out of here.
But you can't.
Go on, do as I tell you. Get out. Go on, get out. I never was a superstitious man, but peculiar things like that. Carlos was right. But there was something Carlos didn't know. A woman can curse a ship even after she's dead. Rita's body was in that chest. And that's just where that compass needle pointed. Right straight to Rita. Rita's body off that boat before something really bad struck us. I put the body into my sea bag and carried up on deck. It was a bright moonlit night, clear, except for one dark cloud that hung just above our mast.
Hello, Steve.
Carlos.
Well, you come on deck, Steve. I'm glad. You feel better, eh?
Thought you were in your bunk.
No, I do not sleep, Steve. Seabag.
What about it?
What you doing?
Well, why? Is it any of your business?
Why, you only ask, Steve.
Well, it's, got some of my old clothes in it. Yeah, some old clothes. I was going to dump them overboard.
Will you let me see what you have in the bag, Steve?
Well,
eh?
I told you, I only got...
But you all the time give me old clothes. Some very good. This coat I wear. I take before you throw it away, you remember?
There's nothing in here you can use.
Well, how do you know? You don't let me see.
I told you there's nothing in here for you. Nothing that's any good. Now, will you get
Steve.
Out of here?
Look.
What's the matter?
Look on the deck. It comes from that bag. Blood. Steve. You're dripping from the bag you hold.
I made some kind of an excuse. I told Carlos I cut my shoulder, then I threw the bloody shirt into the sea bag. After Carlos went up to the deck house where Johnny was at the wheel, I threw the bag over the side. Went below to my cabin. I almost felt good again. All my worries, all my fears went over the side with that bag. Now the curse was lifted. Now everything would be all right. I thought, but it didn't turn out that way. I heard the ship's motor die out. The boat came to a stop. I hurried across the cabin, opened the door, went upstairs to the deck.
Steve!
The motor stopped.
Yeah.
Well, what happened?
I cut it off.
You cut? Well, why?
There's someone in the water.
What?
Off the port side. Carlos is going out in the lifeboat to get her.
Her?
Yes, Steve, it's a woman.
Well, get Carlos. Call him back.
But, Steve...
Do what I tell you. Get him back. And you start that motor.
Steve, you can't do a thing like that.
I said we're getting out of here.
That isn't right. You can't let that woman drown. We can't let her die.
But she is dead. She's dead, John.
No, Steve, she isn't. Come on over to the side. You can see her swimming out there in the water.
Ah, it's only the moonlight. It's just the way things look in a moonlight place. Tricks on your eyes, John.
Steve, I saw her. She's alive.
It was Rita. I knew it was Rita out there. I knew she was dead. Johnny left me and crossed to the port side of the boat. I looked up. The same black cloud was over the mast, and then I heard it. I wanted to believe it was a wind, just a wind, but it wasn't. I knew it was Rita. It was her voice. I clapped my hands to my ears to shut out the terrible sound, but it struck through my fingers like a knife and jammed into my brain. And then I blacked out. A
Here, Steve. You drink this one.
Carlos.
You fall downstairs. You get sick, eh, Steve?
Yeah, Carlos. I get sick, I guess.
We have a woman.
Huh?
She's here.
Woman? Oh, yeah. Now, I remember. Carlos, you brought her on board?
Yeah.
You know what that means, Carlos? You told me yourself it's bad luck.
I know, but this we cannot tell. We cannot let the woman drown in the sea.
Yeah, but she couldn't drown. She was dead already. I tell you, she was dead. I know her. You...
Do I look dead to you?
Carlos.
Well, do I?
I go up to Deckhouse with John.
No, Carlos, don't leave me here with her.
You talk to her.
No, Carlos, come back.
You're afraid of something, Steve. Is it me?
You're dead.
Now, why do you keep saying?
Well, because I know you're dead.
I would have been, but Carlos and Johnny saved me.
Well, you don't look the same, but that's a trick to fool them. I know who you are.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do, and I know why you come back, Rita.
My name isn't Rita. It's Edith. Edith Lawton. I told the whole story to Johnny and Carlos. My plane crashed into the ocean. That simple. They believed it.
Because they don't know. You can trick them.
Steve, you're sick.
I know why you come back from the dead. You want to see me destroyed. You can't fool me because I know who you really are.
You seem so sure of that.
Sure. It's that dress you're wearing. I remember it, Rita. I gave you that dress for your birthday. I had to get her off the boat again. Some way. Johnny, that fool Johnny, told her to rest in his bunk. If I could only made him understand somehow. I went up on deck. The superstition was being fulfilled right in front of my eyes. The black cloud above the mast spread itself out into a giant blanket, snuffing out the light of the moon and the stars. Cold wind came moaning out of nowhere. I had to do something before it was too late. I went forward to the deckhouse where Carlos was at the wheel. Carlos, yeah, he would understand.
I don't understand, Steve. What did you try to say?
That woman, Carlos, she's cursing this boat. Look how it's blowing up.
Yeah, yes, Steve. Big storm coming.
Well, she's doing it. It's because she's on this boat. We'll all be killed.
Nothing we can do, Steve.
Yes, there is. We can get rid of her.
Steve!
Don't you see, we gotta. If we're gonna come out of this storm alive, we gotta get rid of her.
Oh, not a thing like that, Steve.
Carlos, listen to me. I'm gonna tell you something. That woman, she's not who you think she is. She's my wife, Rita.
No, Steve.
Yes, she is. Rita, come on board before we left port. I lied to you. She didn't go back on shore. I killed her. And it's a trick. The dead who return can play tricks. But there's one sure thing I know about. That dress she's wearing, I gave it to her as a birthday present.
Steve, I gave the woman that dress.
What?
She was wet. I look in your closet and cabin for something for her to wear. I find the dress in Rita's suitcase.
What?
In the suitcase, you say Rita bring your things, Steve.
Well, then...
I knew when I see the blood fall on deck from that sea bay.
But you never said anything.
She was a bad woman, Steve. No good.
But she's come back, Carlos.
No, Steve. Rita's dead.
She's come back. I tell you, she's down below in Johnny's bunk. She's bringing this storm on. She's going to have us all killed. I know what we'll do, Carlos.
No, Steve.
You want to die?
This bad thing to kill.
I have it all planned. You throw a blanket over her so Johnny won't hear a scream.
Steve, please. I cannot do this.
I have a piece of lead pipe in the cabin. I'll take care of the rest with that.
No, Steve. I will not help you. No matter what storm brings, I will not help you kill.
I had to do it myself. The passageway to Johnny's bunk was dark. As I got closer, I could hear her breathing. Then I threw the blanket over her. And as I held the blanket down, she started to kick and struggle. Then I raised the pipe and... picked up the lifeless body in the blanket and carried it up to the deck and over to the rail. For a while, I stood on the deck and watched the storm grow and grow. A wind whipped the heavy rain before it. The swelling waves lashed and kicked at the sides of the boat. just welcomed the storm because I knew we'd ride through it. She was gone. This time, forever.
You enjoying the storm?
I wheeled around. She was standing at the top of the stairs, the light from the cabin below me. Devil's shadows on her face.
Mind if I stand here with you?
Oh, no, don't you come near me.
You're still afraid
stay
of
away,
me.
Stay away,
you mustn't be afraid of me, Steve.
I'm not going to die. I'm not going to be dead like you.
Why do you think I'm dead?
I just killed you again.
Again?
How can you come back again? I had it all planned perfectly. The blood, the pipe. I knew you'd be in Johnny's bunk.
I wasn't in Johnny's bunk.
Yes, you were. I threw a blanket over you and...
You killed Johnny.
What?
Carlos told Johnny wanted me to come up to the deck house, and then Johnny went back to his bunk.
It wasn't you. Johnny. I killed Johnny.
Steve, we've got trouble.
Carlos, Johnny, I...
Real trouble, Steve. The wheel. It will not move. It stays one way. I can do nothing with it. The Carter Reef is ahead. We are coming to it soon. We will go up in the reef. You must get Johnny quick. He can fix the wheel. Johnny is the one who can save us.
Johnny was the one who could save us, and Johnny was dead. I killed him. I went to the deck house. Carlos played the light beam on the darkness ahead. Well, I tried the wheel. It wouldn't budge. It was as if an invisible hand was holding the boat on a fixed course.
Steve, up ahead. The reef. We've got to get out of here. We're going in the rocks. Hurry.
But something held me in the deck house. It was what I saw at the top of one of the rocks. Rita. It was Rita. She was standing there waving to me.
Steve, hurry! It will be too late!
I stood there looking up at Rita as the rocks come closer and closer.
Steve, you hurt bad.
Yeah, pretty bad, Carlos. Gotta get me out of here.
I tried, Steve. I cannot move the beam.
God, the boat's going under. You can't let me die like this.
I'm sorry, Steve. I can do nothing. The woman, Edith Lawson, I must save her. She's hurt, too. I must get her in the lifeboat.
Carlos, don't leave me.
Goodbye, Steve. Goodbye.
Carlos, please come back. Come back and help me.
I've been waiting for you, Steve.
Rita! Rita, help me! Come down here and get me off this boat!
Oh, I couldn't do that, Steve. Don't you remember? It'll bring bad luck if a woman comes aboard a fishing boat.
She can save me, but she won't. She stands up on that rock up there and looks down at me and laughs. This is the way she wants it. She wants me to be as dead as she is. That about packs in Steve Chapman, like a salted mackerel. Now you see what can happen when you let your wife go into a dive. Say, here's something for all you folks with troublesome spouses. A watered-down theme song composed by the Three Ancient Mariners. Hook, line, and sinker. Now, let's see. How's it going? Oh, yes. Yeah. Pack up your wives in your old sea bag and drown, drown, drown. Good night. Pleasant dreams.
Sanctum was heard in the United States over CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System. has been rebroadcast for servicemen and women overseas through the facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.